Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Jen. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. So I'm excited to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Not much to tell. I've been writing full-time almost 10 years. I write cozy mysteries and rom-coms. I used to be a librarian. I did a 22-year tour of duty in the public and a lot of different libraries. But I have two grown sons, so it's really, well, mostly quiet. I'm also like a rescue animal person, so I have way too many pets.
you mentioned in the pre and the questions that you're a foster fail parent.
A fail.
Talk to us about your foster fail failures.
Last year we had our neighborhood, just we had one of those epidemics of kittens, you know.
Yeah.
And I have two neighbor friends across the way. Well, I had two old cats and a youngster that we had found on our front patio. So we'd had him for a few years, George, and I had two dogs for a long time, and then one passed, very sad, and then we just had the one dog. So I was like, okay, the kids have left, the pets are, you know, aging, it's all fine. And then my son showed up in his car with a dog riding shotgun, so now we have her because she's like the best dog ever, you know, with our other dogs. And and then my neighbor and I started tracking this mama cat, and she had a litter, and she had them in between my house and the next door neighbor's house.
Yeah.
And she had them in a little like hideaway. So then I just started going out there like a loser, like with food. And I would sit there and try and get them used to me. And one of them was just kind of dopey and friendly. I mean, he would go out and lay in the front lawn with his belly up, and my son and I were like, he's hawk bait, we got to get him, you know. So we really waited, really babied him until they were about 9-10 weeks, and then we snatched him. And then I caught the mama and I got her neutered. Well, no, back up. Then the mama disappeared, and I was like, okay, well, I'll catch her when she comes back. I'm trying to get these kittens, you know, homed. And one of them got taken, but then the other three, I kept them. So now I have like five cats. But then mama showed up and she was pregnant again. Yeah, so she dropped a litter in April and then another one like at the very end of August. And the dad is this big old Siamese who we call Sinatra because he's got the blue eyes and he like wanders around. He's looking for trouble. I can't catch him. He's the only one I can't neuter. But anyway, so another litter dropped, and then I found homes for them, so everything's fine. But yes, I'm a massive fail. And if I hadn't found a home for those guys, I would have nine cats. So she's fine. It's fine.
And what happened to the mama? So she got neutered.
Get mama. She is our yard cat. She is very, like, even when she had the babies, I would sit down with food and the babies would come up and I could pick them up and I could put them down. But she's, I got her in the trap and I got her neutered. And then, now she's like, no, I see you. But we have her. And okay, this is a true story. We have like nine yard cats that we feed that are all these feral cats. And it's us and the two neighbors across the street and like the three houses. We look after them. We monitor them. It's like, have you seen Sinatra? No, I haven't. Yeah, it's crazy. But they're really good and they're sweet. But it's like you can't touch them, and they're not going to be house cats. They're just not. So we try. All three of us collectively try to take care of them. But yeah, fail, huge fail.
Oh my God, I'm living for this. I feel you. My parents were at one point were like hosting, you know, our cat. Like she had my parents were a dog friendly household, and we were never a cat person, but I stumbled upon a cat that was like passing along. She was found in the BW Parkway.
Yeah.
And they were like passing along in the grad school program, and I ended up being the last house. She was named by somebody else and all stuff. And so we had her, and I had a really weird job that I was never around. She was peeing and like, she was like calling for attention. So I sent her to my parents. She got spoiled rotten. So then my stepdad actually helps in the marina. And so he actually found a dog who was like, everyone was taking care of it. And the dog got pregnant and all these different things. And so they took care of the dogs. And so he brought the dog to my parents' house, which we already had a basset hound. So they became like a three dog, like a three animal family. Yeah. At one point, all the dogs and cats passed away. It's been a while. And so he had a house and had a cat that he fed. He sold the house, but his brother lives in the house next door. So he basically feeds the cat. Like, he's like, you know, and he tried to bring it up to my mom's, like, can we bring it? My mom was like, no, we're not doing this again. No. We're not doing this again.
But it's like, get off that train.
But it's basically like, you know, like, they're just like, my stepdad finds these animals and he's just like, you know, they're like, they're out there. They need home. But some of them are like, as you said, feral. They're like, they just living their best life outside. They're like, someone's spoiling them. Like, they're bringing them food and they're taking care of them, you know.
Yeah. And we don't have a lot of cat fights in the neighborhood because between the three houses, they're very well fed. And there's different shelters. Like, you know, one neighbor keeps her garden bed wet, so they all lay in that when it's hot. I mean, you know, so why would you want to go like live in a house and be strange?
It is so good. So enough about our
sorry, I can talk pets all day.
I actually love this. So let's talk about summer reading. What is elevator pitch?
Summer reading is, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, we all say if it's a book of my heart, you know, but, and they all are, but this one, because I was a librarian for a long time, it's set in a library on Martha's Vineyard and in the Oak Bluffs Library in particular, which I love. It's such a cute little library. But, you know, usually we have a lot of kind of book-based rom-coms in women's fiction, and it's always the guy is the reluctant reader and the woman is a book nerd, and I just was like, I just kind of wanted to flip the script, you know, and have her not be a book person. And then I was kind of trying to think of, well, why isn't she? And I have some dyslexia in my family. My son was a late reader. My husband's a super slow reader. My brother, like, we used to laugh about his spelling, you know, not to his face, but even he was like, oh my God. So there was a lot of neurodivergence in my own family. And then I was talking to a friend of mine, Kat, and she was just like, well, I'm severely dyslexic. So then she started telling me her story, you know, all the coping skills she came up with in school, how it really dogged her self-esteem. And, you know, being the awesome friend that I am, I totally took her whole life and went, yeah, I'm going to take that. Thanks. You know, because that's what we do. Writers are terrible friends. But no, she was fine. She was actually one of my beta readers. And it was just interesting to navigate, because it's not just like an opposites attract where one person's neat and one person's not. You know what I mean? Like, in real life, it's like you're tidy and you're a mess. This was like, you know, the hero is a librarian. He loves books. He finds solace from his troubled childhood in books. And then she's someone who's like, yeah, I'm gonna watch the movie. So it was like, you know, finding a common ground for them was really fun. And it got me thinking of all the different ways we take in stories, whether it's movies or audiobooks or, you know, and it was just kind of neat to investigate all that while their romance, you know, hopefully bloomed.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love this. It's like, you know, it's like, think about gender flip, like, you know, like the non-reader and the reader, and like, how does it look? Like, I come from a family, my family doesn't read. Like, they read, you know, but they don't, they're not readers. And I'm the odd man out who's like binging a book a day. And I'm like, oh, I just need more books, you know.
Leave me alone.
It's my coping mechanism. It got me through childhood trauma, you know.
Absolutely. That was me too. It was like, you know, rough and tumble childhood, but books, you know, leveled me out. But my brother was not a reader, and you know, come to find out, he was, you know, he had dyslexia. And the different ways. Like his thing was to be outdoors. Mine was to be left alone. Yeah. And then I would go outdoors with him just so he'd, you know, leave me alone later so I could read my book. But yeah, you know, we all have our stuff. But yeah, I think, and I think what, you know, a guy who is a book lover is so appealing.
Yeah, you know? It is. I'm like, we have something to talk about.
Exactly. It's like, oh my God, you've read that? I know. My husband is, we met in a library and he's a musician, but he loves to read, although he's one who reads every single word. Like he does have to, but he's, you know, trained himself over the years. But I was at a dinner with him and he and the guy next to him were talking and I hear them and they're talking about James Joyce's Ulysses. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. It's like, I've been married to you for years. It's like, you've never been more attractive, you know? Not that I would read Ulysses, but you know, wow, good for you, honey. You know?
Sorry. So speaking of reading, what kind of books do you tend to read and some book recommendations?
Yes. I read everything. I love science fiction, fantasy, romance, mysteries, obviously. Mm-hmm. My trick is that when I'm writing a mystery, I read romance, you know, or science fiction, fantasy. When I'm writing a romance, I read mystery or science fiction, fantasy, because, you know, authors can have pretty strong voices. So if I'm reading somebody really with a distinctive voice, they can hijack my manuscript.
Yeah.
So that's my thing. But I'm, you know, and I used to say, oh, I don't read literature, blah. But now I'm like looking at myself going, oh, wait, you read Circe and Song of Achilles. You read literature. It was like, okay, fine. But it has to be really good. And then for recommendations, it's I love Abby Jimenez. Mm-hmm. Yours Truly just came out, which I think is the second half of Part of Your World, if I remember
right. I think so, yeah. It can be read as a standalone because I did not read Part of Your World, but it's part of it. Like you
have a character,
you get the most out of it if you read both.
Yeah, you got to be in the world.
Yeah.
So I love Abby Jimenez, and Kate Bromley has a book coming out called Ciao for Now, which is set in Italy. I haven't read it yet, but it's on my short list because I love Italy. And I do tend to read books that are set in places I want to go if I can't get there. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just finished a book set in Ireland. It'll come out next year. It's called Love at First Book. But it's like I wrote it because I wanted to go to Ireland. I mean, why wouldn't you? So, and it's one of the characters from Summer Reading. So like Abby's book, it's, I guess what they call a continuity.
Yep. Like is like a interconnected standalones, I think it is. Like,
yeah,
it's like it's in the same universe, but they can be read as standalone, but there's still like there's Easter eggs from, you know, from the story,
which I love. And I love if they have a side character who's super cool. Like, I wonder what's going to happen to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So Abby Jimenez, Kate Bromley. Who else? Oh, Annabelle Monaghan has same time next summer. Coming out, and that one I have read. That one I got an advanced look, and that one was super cool. I really liked it. It's, you know, beachy. The weird thing is, we both have a character named Sam and a character with dyslexia. I'm like, and we didn't even know each other until like this year. I'm like, well, that's weird, you know. So,
ideas sprinkle, like, you know, like it's kind of like we're like, what is happening?
We both grabbed it. We were probably in a tug of war and didn't know it. Yeah. So that one was really good. And then for mysteries, I am super excited. I have two plot group buddies and they both had books come out recently. Mm-hmm. And I love a series in mysteries. Like, sign me up. Like, I want to find a book and then I want to find out there was 20 books before it. The binger in me is like, yes. So they both just came out with books. Fateful Words, I think, is Paige Shelton, but it's a Scottish bookstore. And the first one is The Cracked Spine. So you want to start there and then go through that series. And I think she's maybe getting around 10. I'm not sure. I'm terrible at keeping track. And then the other one is my friend Kate Carlisle. And she writes two series, Bibliophile and A Fixer-Upper. And one of her fixer-uppers, and it's all set in California and Victorian houses. And it's a handy woman is the lead sleuth. And she's super cool. And she's married to engaged to a novelist. So I love that angle. But Dressed to Drill just came out, and I think there's about 10 in that one too. So
this is amazing. As someone who loves those are my
hot tickets. Yeah. I know, there's so many books to read, you could read forever, I swear.
Yeah. So Jen, tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me on Instagram at McKinley Jen, Facebook. I think it's Jen McKinley Author. And then there's a private group on Facebook that my assistant runs, and they're called the McKinley's Mavens. So you get vetted in because, you know, you just, it's like if you want to do giveaways now on Facebook, you can't, because then you get someone who tells everybody they won and they try to get their credit card numbers. Don't ever give your credit card number, just word to the wise. We will never do, we will never do that. Yeah. But we found that having a private group, we could do, and she does amazing giveaways. I mean, it's not just like a book. You get like a book and a tote bag and some tchotchkes and a koozie and, you know, I'll be your best friend. I mean, it's like crazy, crazy giveaways. So I think in these Mavens, and then I'm on TikTok, but I still don't really understand it. Yeah. I mean, I love it. And I'm having a really, I'm actually having a great time doing little videos because it's kind of like a break. And yeah. I think it's Jen McKinley. I'm not positive, but you know, cause you know, whatever, whatever.
It is so good.
Thank you. And I have a website. I have a website. the important one is, do you find that authors don't use their websites as much?
They don't, but you need a website because of Google. Like, that's how they find it. Like, you have like
that's a home base of operation. Right? Yeah. It's kind of like the home base. And then you have to go in and update. Oh, yeah, I have a book coming out.
Yeah. It's like a repository because people will, that's the first place people will go to. It's like, and Google has like this weird thing about like domain authority. Like, are you the real person? And so having a website makes an impact, you know?
Yeah. You gotta be there. You gotta be there. And I would say I have a newsletter, but I would, 1 year I did it every month. And then the next year I did it twice.
It is.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Maybe there's a newsletter. And that's just jenmckinley.com. So easy peasy.
Awesome. Thank you, Jen, for being on the show.
Thank you so much. It was so much fun. We'll have to like talk pets again.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyournextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What's Your Next Podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.